Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stevens. Great to have your company. With the volatility in the markets being so high last week, we have an extended market wrap with Chris Tate today for the week ending the 1st of May. We take a look at what Chris means by being in psychological rhythm to the markets and what to do when you're out of sync. He also answers a few classic trader error questions, tells us an error of his own, and he points out the areas that are moving in the markets and where to place your trades. And finally, he tells us about the up-and-coming wealth retreat on the Gold Coast at the end of May. Chris Tate, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Morning, Caroline.
Volatile markets. Last week, I've had so many emails from frustrated traders, and I have been stopped out of a couple of positions myself. What on earth happened in last week's markets?
Oh, welcome to the real world. One of the problems we're facing at present is that we've had one or two equity markets that have moved very strongly, but now are experiencing very high volatility. Contrary to that, we've got some markets that have gone nowhere all year and have quite low volatility. Asian markets are extremely volatile at present. The past week has seen great volatility in them. Contrast that with the US markets where, for example, you've got the S&P 500, which has really done nothing all year, and it's simply range trading. And this is immensely frustrating for traders. And we see this sort of repetition of up 1%, down 1%, up 1%, down 1%.
Why are the Asian markets so volatile?
I think what you're seeing is a confluence of factors. One is you're seeing a shift of hot money into them. What's occurred is that if you look at investment returns globally, you'll see that the old world, if we speak of Europe as being the old world, you're looking at investment returns, returns on businesses being of the order of 1% to 2%. If we look at Africa, you're seeing 4+. If you look at Asia, you're seeing double-digit returns. So you've got a world awash with cash that's looking for a home, and it's flooding into Asian markets, particularly China. China is one of these things which, one of these markets which seems to have woken up all of a sudden. It's gone nowhere for years, and all of a sudden it's taken off. And you've also got a series of internal drivers. It looks like their sort of demonic focus has shifted from building cities where no one will ever live, these enormous ghost towns, which are the size of, you know, a medium-sized Australian city, which will never have anyone live in them, to their population has now discovered the market. And they're opening broking accounts at the rates of hundreds of thousands a day, which is an extraordinary thing. So you're getting all this hot money, both, I would loosely call professional and amateur, flooding into the market. And we've had, concurrent with that, an almost vertical liftoff. That's unsustainable. Sooner or later, markets need a break. It's like a sprint. Sprints only go for so long, and then they stop. And this is the situation we're facing in Asia. We've got this enormous run-up. We've now got a pause where you've got enormous volatility occurring, and we wait and see what the hell they do next.
Would you be recommending traders to get into the Asian complex?
Look, I've been long Asia for a while, but some of my shorter-term positions have been stopped out. And at present, I'm not looking to re-enter. Within my approach, within my philosophies, I don't enter markets where you have this extreme volatility. Many people confuse trend and volatility. They're not the same. Volatility is simply the speed and dispersion of price. Trend is the capacity of price to move in a consistent direction. But volatility becomes a valuable tool when it's at extremes, when it's either very, very high or very, very low. And when it's very, very low, it's telling you something. When it's very, very high, it's also telling you something. And from my perspective, when it's extremely high and there is no trend, it's telling me to stand aside until a clearer picture emerges.
On the alumni forum, you posted, and I quote, that there's a natural psychological rhythm to trading. Is
yes.
This what you mean by that comment?
I think what I meant by that is it's quite, even people with mechanical systems can fall out of rhythm with the market. And at present, for example, my daily system, I run two. I run my own, but I also run one for an advisory service we're building, which is slightly different in that it's a smaller account size, so it has less flexibility. I'm out of rhythm with that at present. And what it's a little bit like, well, let me give you an analogy. Let's say it's Monday, I walk into the gym, I feel fabulous, and I start to lift, and all of a sudden, everything is immensely heavy, and you think, good God, it wasn't this heavy on Saturday. Something's happened to the gravitational field of the gym. Everything's gotten heavier. I'm doing everything in exactly the same way, but it's just not working. And anyone who's played sport will have that experience. You run onto the ground thinking, here we go. And you think you're doing everything in the same way you did the week before, but you're shit. You're half a beat behind, you're in the wrong spot, but you think you're doing so well.
You're not grooving on the dance floor.
No, you're simply not able to spin on your head like you used to. And the only solution is to keep going until the rhythm comes back. And I think it's, in many ways, as you said, it's a psychological thing.
So when you are out of kilter, you're out of sync, what sort of things will be happening in your trading?
What I find personally is you don't make as much as you should out of some moves. When I went back and audited the advisory system portfolio because I knew I was out of sync, there were certain moves that I just didn't make as much out of that I should have. I wasn't as efficient or as effective. And with trading, when you get winning trades, you have to be as effective as possible to make as much out of them as possible so that they counter the large number of crappy little trades you have. There were things like being a little bit late to a signal or simply not seeing a signal. And in part, I think traders suffer from what's known as decision fatigue because we make so many decisions. And if you're making decisions for a variety of systems, but also other business interests, sooner or later your decision-making ability fatigues. And the example I'll give, and this is based upon one of the studies that's been done on decision-making. If you're going up for parole and you head before the parole board, if you're scheduled for the end of the day, try and get it scheduled for the beginning of the next day, because you are more likely to be given parole. You're more likely to be given parole because those people assessing you are fresh, their psychology is free. Towards the end of the day, they're fatigued. Mm. They've been making so many important decisions that they simply say, stuff it, back you go. It's too hard. It's also the reason why when you go to a supermarket, all the crap food that kids like is placed on the aisle. It's placed where you actually stick your stuff to have the little checkout person scan it, because you've made so many decisions going through, and if you've been wrestling with children, you've made so many decisions to control them. By the time you get to the checkout, that short-term fatigue overcomes you and you just go, ah, screw it, little Johnny, have yourself a giant Freddo and go bunter.
Can you have too many positions open in the market?
You probably can. You can from a functional aspect, but also from a psychological aspect. From a functional aspect, if you're trading a long-term portfolio, the more and more positions you have, the more your performance will begin to replicate the index, because you've built yourself a small index. All you need to do then is buy the index and save yourself the bother. The other is simply a management question of how many plates can you keep spinning at any one time?
Okay, so with the high volatility, this is the fiddle question, and don't make any dirty jokes about this. How do you deal with the regret and recrimination that you get when you have fiddled with your trades that have been against your trading plan? Because in this highly volatile market, it is so hard not to do.
It is. You have to suffer. You really have to suffer the regret. And that's the issue that everyone faces. Suffer. You made a mistake, suffer. Until the pain of that is such that it sears into your brain that you don't do it again. This, you know, sort of hippie notion, we were talking about hippies before we got started, of I'm going to release this. Nah, screw that. Suffer. Suffer through it. Look at it and go, oh, Christ, that was a stupid thing to do.
Why'd I do that?
Why did I do that? And make a note. Print it out. Blow it up. Stick it on your screen so that you don't do it again. We learn as traders by negative reinforcement, not by positive reinforcement. You learn by pain, not by reward.
You've been trading 30 years?
Yes.
Do you ever get times where you go, oh, good God, why did I do that trading?
Oh, look, occasionally you still will. And there will be times when you look at the market and go, oh, Christ, what happened there? And that occurs because we're not automatons. We get tired, we become sort of emotionally fatigued, there are other things going on, we become distracted. Some of the biggest mistakes I've made in trading have when I've been distracted. And they're my mistakes because I'm just not paying attention.
Tell us about one of those times, because I'm sure that'll help a lot of traders.
I was putting on a spy position a few years ago. And normally when my cleaners are in my house, I leave the house. But I wanted to get this position on. And I was distracted by them behind me. And the position size was out by an order of magnitude. So it was 10 times larger than it should have been, which I didn't realize until I got an alert on the phone. And I went, what have I done? And I had to kill the position instantly. You know, I'd literally gone from my house to past the milk bar, and my phone beeped, and I looked at the phone and had one of those blood rushes from your head moments and just killed it. Don't do it whilst you're distracted.
Don't just do it when you're tired.
When you're distracted, when you're trading, because trading is expensive when you get it wrong, you've really got to pay homage to that. And do it when you're actually on your game. You can't, it's the difference between it being a hobby and being a profession. You've got to be on your game.
And I have made a mistake where I have put a reactive trade on.
Yes.
And
yes,
I got stopped out.
Yes. So you get hit coming up and you get hit going down. And you go, well, that was an enormous amount of fun. Let's not do that again. But we come back to the notion of pain. You have to go, you've got to own it. You've got to own your mistakes.
All right. In this really volatile environment, for people who are at this stage of options, are options a good option, pun intended, for such a volatile market?
One of the problems people have with options is that, let me take a step back. Options are a complex derivative that have a multiple of inputs into deciding what their price is. An options price has a linear relationship with volatility. So let's assume you see an option that's priced at 50 cents and the volatility of, you know, the underlying instrument is, let's say, 25%. With no change in condition other than a collapse in volatility, if volatility went to 12.5%, with no other change, the value of that option would drop to 25 cents. So you're caught. Without understanding how volatility functions, then trading options in a high volatility environment is very, very risky for people. Now, what people might counter and say is, well, high volatility is an ideal time to begin to write options or to sell them naked. To which I would say, look, in many situations for people who experience that, that is true and correct. But for the majority of people, what I default to is a simple old Wall Street saying about people who write options. And this applies to the average person who writes options. And that is that option writers eat like birds, but they shit like elephants. What they do is they get very tiny reward. They face massive catastrophic losses. And as we've seen, for example, with Swiss franc earlier on, it is quite possible for these massive outlier moves to simply wipe people out, but not only wipe people out, to wipe their broking firms out at the same time. So when you've got periods of great volatility, it doesn't mean that it can't get worse. It can always get worse. And without an understanding of how to protect against that sort of catastrophic move, selling volatility is a very, very risky endeavour.
Okay, let's go back to the markets this week. What patterns are jumping out from the charts?
The thing that strikes me is if you're getting volatility in some of the index markets, look somewhere else, go somewhere else. And the interesting thing is that strangely enough, in sort of this week's episode of Strange Things Do Happen, base metals have actually started to move. And base metals are positive for the first time in a very, very long time. Even iron ore is showing a little bit of life and is lifting off that low it had in the mid-40s. And strangely enough, this is contrary to, you know, the rest of, say, the precious metals, which are pretty much locked in the doldrums at present. The other thing to look at, and this is the thing that interested me, was that you're getting a continuation of the lift that we've been seeing in the energy complex. You know, if you look at sort of 1 month relative performance of instruments. The best performers have been, you know, crude oil, they've been heating oil, they've been West Texas, they've been gasoline. They've been the best performers. And this is at a time, of course, when people were saying that oil's come to an end and it's all over. And the moment people say that, it's not.
And they've been in your charts of interest that you've posted, aren't
yes.
they?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I would be looking. It's a simple matter of taking a step sideways. And not when people see high volatility, they tend to become myopic. They're a little bit like a bunny in the headlights. They stare fixedly at one thing when there's hundreds of things they could be staring at.
So base metals and the energy complex.
Yes.
Advice to traders.
Don't be spooked by high volatility. Just move on. Go somewhere else.
Okay. Chris, end of May, I believe you have a conference coming up where you will be presenting.
Both Louise and I are speaking at Wealth Retreat, which is, as per an unwritten rule of legislation that we have here in Australia, is being held on the Gold Coast. Just like it is illegal in Melbourne to hold events anywhere other than Crown Palladium, it's illegal to have a conference anywhere other than the Gold Coast. what we're doing, one of the things you find is that if you're a serial entrepreneur, if you're an entrepreneur in the finance area, there's very few people to talk about or talk to. Mm. So this yearly get-together functions as a mastermind group, effectively, where you get to meet other people who think the same, act the same. They might be in a completely different business, but the mindset and the aims and ambitions are identical. So we get a bunch of these people in the room. We get a bunch of keynote speakers. There's also a series of one-on-one sessions that go throughout the 5 days. So if you've got a particular interest, you can sit down with a particular person and talk to them. If you want to talk to me, we might be doing it at the gym, but that's all right. And if people are interested in knowing more, all they need to do is go to wealthretreat.com.au, and there's a whole bunch of information and a webcast that they'll get access to.
When are the dates for Wealth Retreat?
Wealth Retreat is in 25 days from now, last week of May, first week of June, for 5 days.
And it's a property, shares and
business, finance, mindset, all rolled into one.
And I've attended it too, and that's where I met your good self, and it's phenomenal. Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Not a problem, Caroline. Thank you.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Stay tuned next week for market analyst and podcaster Dale Gillam from Wealth Within on the art form of the markets. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. We look forward to seeing you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.